Hello and welcome to Movies on the Side. This is Stephen Robles.
And this is Nate Baranowski.
And today we are reviewing the 2023 movie, The Creator. The Creator?
Yes.
I never know. Yes.
Either one.
Could be either or. That's the whole name of the movie. I have lots of thoughts about this movie, Nate. I'm excited we get to talk about it.
So do I. I'm ready.
There's also connections if you're watching this. If not, I will just tell you. I'm wearing my Dune t-shirt from the movie Dune. Mm-hmm. And there's a connection. Do you know the connection between The Creator and Dune?
Hans Zimmer.
Yes.
Bopped the soundtrack for both of them.
Bopped.
And by bopped, I meant did some experimental stuff and probably had free reign.
Oh, yeah. That was the
Get dystopian with it.
So, yes, Hans Zimmer, huge connection there. Also, Greg Fraser, I assume it's Greg, the DOP or director of photography, the same for The Creator and Dune Part 2.
Ooh.
And The Batman. Just throwing that out there.
Okay.
He's the cinematographer for all of these. He actually
and the director.
Yes. Yes.
Is the director of your favorite Star Wars movie, Rogue One.
That's right. And Godzilla, but not the good Godzilla. Not the one
not
with Matthew Broderick.
Godzilla.
Not the
Matthew
Broderick.
Your least favorite.
Yeah, yeah. No, not my least favorite. So, the DOP, director of photography, he actually couldn't be on some of the sets for The Creator because he was working on Dune 2.
Uh-huh. Oh.
So, there you go. Yeah, a little trivia for you.
We know a little bit more than we usually know. Oh, you got more for me.
I got more for you. I've been about this movie. I've been reading in this movie. I also want to say, I don't know if you know this, but
what camera it was shot on?
Why'd you have to steal my thunder like that? Why do you?
I don't know what it's called. I just know there's a thing about the camera.
How do you know there's a thing about the camera? Why do you even know
that?
Because
I saw it somewhere when doing my research on this movie.
Okay, so you did some research.
But I have no idea what it's a Sony something, right?
Yes, it is a Sony something. I will tell you the model. It's an FX3. FX3.
What does that mean? That meant nothing to me.
Sony, I mean, listen, Sony's got a lot of different cameras. Okay, there's the A series.
Hold on a second, let me lean back. All right.
The A series of cameras, which is actually the camera. If you're watching this podcast, I'm using a Sony A series camera right here. This is Sony.
Oh, awesome. And I'm using a 2015 MacBook Pro camera.
You're not
right
even
here.
Using your iPhone in continuity mode. What is going
on?
Yeah,
we're in a different setup here. We got house guests, so I'm in a different place. I'm house surrounded
guests.
By my King Tut treasures.
Yeah,
board
it's
games,
your board
Quest
games.
2.
Yeah, that's very good. So, the A series, like my Sony A7IV, the naming's a little weird. It costs about $2,000, okay? The FX3 is the FX3 is more expensive. It's like the next line up of cameras.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the most expensive or not, but the FX3, if you were to buy it body only, meaning just like the actual body, it's like $4,000. $4,000.
Okay.
But
what do I need to make a camera work? Do I need just the body or do I need like lenses or something?
You need some lenses. You need some lighting.
Some gimbals.
But you need some gimbals. You may need some cranes. Maybe you need some dollies. You know, all that kind of stuff. SD cards for sure. But anyway, this movie was shot on that camera, which cost $4,000 compared to like cinema cameras, which just for context can cost between like $100,000 to like $500,000, like crazy.
Got it.
So that is
what
why
you're
this
saying
movie is
impressive. Christopher Nolan would never even look at these cameras. He would see these like we look at disposable Walgreens cameras and say never
exactly.
In a million years, right?
Christopher Nolan like makes chairs out of these cameras. Like he's not using these to film anything. He sits on a throne of FX3s. But I had heard about this movie first through that because I follow people on social media and some people, you know, communicate sometimes. And one of the creators on YouTube, his name is Patrick Tomaso. He got to interview the director of The Creator. And they talked about how they used a Sony FX3. And this is the first time like a major motion picture has used a prosumer grade camera to film. And whether you know that or not, like this movie looks great. Like the cinematography is beautiful.
Looks
and
great.
I think it, not to be philosophical, even though we were very philosophical in our bonus episode, quoting
talk about Sun Tzu.
Sun Tzu, exactly. I think it shows that having an expensive camera doesn't it's not necessary for making a good motion picture today and going forward. You can do it with a $2,000, $4,000 camera. You do need lighting and like all that other stuff, crews, things like that. But I think it's impressive. And so I like that aspect of this movie. And it looks good.
Did you do any looking into the VFX of this as well?
I did.
right.
I
heard that they didn't use dots, and they weren't like, they were actually shooting a lot of it in camera and then just comping out heads to make robot heads in there instead.
Do you remember where it was filmed? I forget exactly.
No, I don't.
It's I know it's Thailand. So a majority of it gets filmed in Thailand. Okay. And what's cool is I watched some behind the scenes things. And what's fun is it is just normal. It's just like footage of Thailand. They just capture people like riding on a motorcycle. They capture fields. Right. And they, like you said, comped or like through visual effects, put like futuristic buildings or landscapes and just added it to what was shot. And in the behind the scenes, they talk about it. It makes the world of the creator feel very real. And I think it's really cool. Like, I think, you know, you watch Star Wars, most of the time you're looking at fantastical worlds, you know,
completely digital environments, probably most of the time.
And like, you either have desert people or Coruscant, which is like a city planet, which is, again, not something we have. But I think it's cool that this movie brings it very real and it feels very tangible. And it's like, oh yeah, I could see a future where it's just like a field we have today. Somebody's working in the field.
Right.
And then it's just a futuristic building in the background. Maybe that's where the stuff goes. So I like how this movie looked.
Let's just sit in this for a second before we even talk about the rest of the movie. Because I think both of us, I did like looking into this too, because I found both the visuals and the special effects great. Like, I really enjoyed the look of this. It had the, like, it took its time with certain shots. It didn't rush past, like, scene setting locations. The areas, like, when a, what do they call them? Like, not replicants. Humans with the little ear in the back. They linger on them for a while. Yeah. And because it's, like, the back half of their head that's getting all the CG work done, like, their performance, Ken Watanabe is still doing all his stuff in the front.
Yes.
And like, I found all of that, just the visual and the aesthetic of like, if you were to have android-like people, I believe it. Like, it's a believable thing. I don't know why you wouldn't ever be like, hey, by the way, we actually want you to look like a human. So please put on a fake ear and a fake, you know, like back of the head. Just cover that up. I don't know if you need that big hole in the side for venting, but like it did give me some like pause there. But I thought overall the visuals of it really, really cool. I think the part that I didn't enjoy as much is, and I'm not going to spoil anything yet, but like the big ship that the humans use and sort of the stuff inside there gets a little glossy and a little like detached in a way, and the final like special effects with the wavy robot arm. I was like, what are we doing now? What are we doing here at this exact moment? But other than that, I thought like the on the ground, troops on the ground moments were really cool.
I think it was going for a big finish. And so then, you know, you got to inject the visual effects.
Everyone needs the big finish. And Gareth Edwards, the director, loves when things, everything blows up at the end.
Wait, what else has he done?
Brought to you by Rogue One.
Oh, Godzilla. Yeah, but Rogue One was done tastefully, I think.
Everything blows up at the end.
I know. Spoilers. But yeah, I know that. Also, I enjoyed...
Everything may blow up at the end.
Well, they don't know what's blowing up. They don't know. Is it the Earth?
Stuff.
Is it the androids? Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, the other thing about this movie, this is the second time, the second motion picture where I have seen John David Washington, which, if you didn't know, listener, is Denzel Washington's son.
It's your third time. I know it's your third time because we've already reviewed two of his
movies. Wait a minute. We did Tenet.
Yep.
We did Tenet. There was another one?
Amsterdam.
Oh, that's right.
With Christian Bale.
Yes.
And Margot Robbie.
I totally forgot about that one. I don't know why. But yeah, no, that's good. That was another good one. But yeah, John David Washington. And I will be, you know, let's see, in Tenet. I loved him in Tenet. I think he did great in Tenet. Good stuff. Why'd you shrug? Are you agreeing? Like,
you know, he's great in Tenet. I feel like we are seeing, I'm not sure if we're seeing a whole lot of like, I guess different in Amsterdam. I think that John David Washington is a great actor.
Yes.
Like, I believe his emotions. I believe his scene.
Yeah.
The characters that he plays are kind of, at least the ones I've seen so far. Now, I haven't seen like Black Klansman or a couple other ones that he's been in. Like, I've kind of like, it's kind of right there. It's right,
right there.
Right, like he's kind of like a sharp dagger, and he's just, his character is just like shoots through the center of a movie, and like that's kind of like, and stuff kind of gets out of the way of him, and he just kind of, he's heading towards the end of the movie. I don't picture his character as being kind of like a meandering, like in the world. I feel like he is like marching his way through a movie.
He's trying to get it done. He's trying to get the thing done.
He's a professional.
He's a professional. Yeah, I guess we didn't get a lot of moments where we just got to sit with him in this one. There's the scene. Why are you covering your thing? What was it? Why did you put your hand in front of
you? You didn't need to comment on that. I was just adjusting my levels again. I think it was blasted out.
Okay. He talks to the little kid, which we might talk, we'll get to eventually, but
Alfie.
On the bus. They're on like some bus or whatever, and they have a, you know, conversation about heaven or whatever, and he's not going to heaven because you have to be a good person. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a nice moment where we got to see a little bit from John David Washington. Yep. But yeah, I guess I agree. I guess most of the time he's kind of like just, he's heading towards the goal. Like, what do
I
have to do?
He's doing the thing. He's doing the thing.
A little Tom Cruise-y maybe. You know, Mission Impossible Tom Cruise is very like, get the MacGuffin to the other MacGuffin so the third MacGuffin can take place.
All right, let's step back a later.
Step
layer
back.
And let's peel back the onion.
Step back a layer and take a walk.
Look at
back
the hole in the donut.
The hole in the donut.
Steven, this is not a good movie.
Oh, really?
But it has all of the mixins and all of the elements. It has so many elements that I think are really, really good. And I think this movie tricks me into thinking it is a good movie. And compared to other things we've seen recently, it is a good movie. But I would say that the creator, I'm going way back here.
I don't think
it's an incredibly elegant plot. And when you create a dystopian future world, you got to be ready to like answer questions and like be ready, like have that big whiteboard behind the scenes that kind of like, even if you're not showing it all, like, you know how everything connects and you know like what's going on. And I don't think this movie had that. I think it is like going through a hallway and the hallway's well decorated, but it's like, don't open that window. Like, don't think too much about why no human ever, like, it's like, no, we didn't actually blow up Los Angeles. That was a human error. Like, how come no human in this world looked at that and went like, what?
Right. So
why are we at war with you?
I'm gonna take a step back even further and explain just the general premise.
The plot. Yeah, sorry. That
this movie takes place in the future. I think it's like
2065.
2065. Yep. And their AI has progressed, which is now extremely realistic living in today's world. It has progressed.
But all confined to a body? Question mark? Don't look in that door.
That is a question. It's so AI can be made into robots. We have robots that are general AI intelligence, AGI. Artificial general intelligence, meaning they are thinking, maybe feeling, depending on who you ask, entities.
Do they feel pain?
Don't know.
They
act like they do. They feel emotional pain, the one they found in the junkyard in that one car.
Yes.
Feel emotional pain. So we have AI. We have humans. They were working together for a time. We see some cutscenes at the beginning of this movie of like a robot in a surgery doing like surgery stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then there apparently a bomb gets dropped on Los Angeles.
Right.
Right. Okay. A bunch of people die, including John David Washington's parents in the movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like America goes to war with AI, right? No more AI. AI is bad.
Mm-hmm.
They try to destroy all the AI, but there are still some sympathizers, you could say.
In New Asia.
New Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what that means. But it's Asia something.
Mm-hmm.
New Asia. It's filmed in Thailand, so that's the environment, mm-hmm. you know. And there's people who still like AI, working with robots in the fields. They got robot police. They're cool with AI, but
they're considered like part of the population,
part
like
of
family
the
members,
society.
And,
exactly. Yep. But America mm-hmm. is saying, "Listen, AI, they're gonna kill us all unless we kill them first.
We gotta kill them.
We gotta kill them dead. We gotta kill
so
them first."
They built a giant T, capital T in the sky.
Cool. It looks cool from a distance.
It looks cool from a distance. And I would dare say it shines. If you kind of picture, if you lined up a body underneath like an X-ray machine and it's got a little like tracker to see where on your body it's doing, they know And yeah. I know, and I know that they know that that's a really cool visual as it this is. Giant T scans the topography.
The
world. Topographically.
Topographical.
I don't know.
Is topology the study of topology? Tops? Topology.
For those who love to spin things.
Topology is concerned with the properties of a geometric object that are preserved under continuous deformations. I wanted to affirm you that topology is also a word. That's all I was trying to do. Yeah, it's a word.
Anyway, topology. This giant thing called NOMAD. Again, NOMAD. Cool name. NOMAD. I like it.
Wait, is it NOMAD stands, or NORAD?
Oh, is it NORAD? That's NORAD is not as cool as NOMAD. Hold on a second. Steven, look this up.
They scan the
countryside, and Hans Zimmer puts together this sort of
I love it.
He is
Hans Zimmer's gonna hire you after this.
Gareth said, "Listen, I need a cool sound for this scanning thing." And Hans is like, "I got 85 of these experimental sounds.
No problem.
That Dune wouldn't take. Let me get you some."
Dune didn't want it. You got it.
And it scans. Now, I don't know. It seems like it can scan almost anywhere. It maybe doesn't have to be directly above.
There would be some geopolitical issue of like this massive American ship.
There's some like, sort like it's not high. Like I don't think it's not at full satellite distance. It's kind of lower. Halfway up. And yet it seems to be able to scan. And then at the end, sort of shoot towards whatever over a whole country that it wants.
Right. It is NOMAD, by the way.
This is an example of something where, on the surface, very cool. If you dig one layer deeper, it's like, wait a minute. Am I not supposed to understand? Does this not just hover over your city and zap it?
I did wonder, like, are the blue lights, like, scanning for AI? And so they can, like, see if there's, like, AI people?
Is it scanning for life sources? Or is it merely just, like, here's where the bomb's going to go once we decide to drop it? I think it's scanning.
If it was directing the bomb, I would want to see, like, a blue laser sight to be, like, here's where the bomb's going. I think it kind of has
one in the middle of its thing.
There was, like, a crosshair sometimes, but it was, I couldn't tell.
But did we ever see it scan a person or a thing while a view from the ground?
No.
I don't think so.
No, we don't. We just kind of see it in the distance, like,
it's
cool.
This is one of 800 questions I have for this movie.
Yeah.
But yes, I think, so they're going to war against AI, and apparently any person who also supports AI, it's sort of like, and Allison Janney is the colonel, and she is.
Can I just say, I feel like she's one of the parts of this movie that take me out of the world a little bit. It feels like they're going for the American general, like
the Avatar guy.
Let's kill him dead.
Let's kill him dead.
And like, okay, it felt like it didn't fit in this movie. Like I felt that there's a version of this movie that's very like highbrow art, and it could have been that with John David Washington, with maybe some different plot stuff going on, but her and like that general that shows up to John David Washington in the pool early in the movie, who has the craziest voice. I don't know if you remember.
It's kind of down here the whole time.
It's impossible to mimic because you literally have to smoke 100 packs of cigarettes an hour to get that sound. It was like
method.
I can't even do it. I don't even know how to do it.
Right.
Anyway, things like that took me out.
Right. Exactly. Like I feel like the beauty of this is kind of in some nuance. And I feel like because basically all humans in this movie are basically the bad guys because they are just kind of like blindly blasting and like doing whatever it takes. Like they blow people, robots.
The humans in Thailand who like sympathize with the AI, they seem like good people though.
Right, exactly. So like I mean, I understand that it has sort of like this colonialist like thing to it. But I would have liked to have a few people because John David Washington is supposed to be...
Hello.
What is happening?
It's my father.
Oh, Gary Baranowski. No.
Yes.
Is he coming in there to say
he's
hi? Here.
No, he's going to the bathroom nearby.
Tell him I said hi, if you don't mind.
Steven says hi.
I didn't hear what he said, but okay.
He says hi as well.
Okay. That's funny. Yes.
Okay. So, John David Washington is set up as a character who starts thinking one way. He's on the side of like his parents died in the LA bombing, so he wants to like... I'm here for the war. Full-on dutiful right. soldier. He eventually, we're supposed to see him as like eventually sympathizing towards the other side and like right. loving Alfie, the little right. AI girl.
Who is supposedly the weapon that AI has created to defeat humans.
Okay. Yes, exactly. So they set him up for an undercover mission to go to Maya, Gemma Chan from Crazy Rich Asians, who doesn't get nearly enough to do in this movie. I thought she was going to come back and like be around some more. Right, not that much.
Not that much. Not that much.
But then we are to believe that he falls in love with her. She falls in love with him. But then when they like, but I don't know how to talk about this next part without any spoilers, but like he's now kind of a reluctant, like I'm going on this new mission, not to fight, but to find my wife and to like right. do that. But and also, so
his
just
wife
feels like a flimsy thing to be like, he's back and he's like, I'm just here to find Maya.
It was a little confusing too, because it seemed like Maya, his wife, sympathized with AI entities, like, because she was like, they're killing our friends, when the military came and was like, you know,
right. And then so, it's like he's told that she dies, but yes. then he gets shown a grainy footage exactly. of her from the general, and he's like, look, there she is right there. And in a world of AI where you can literally duplicate yourself,
I would not believe it.
No way.
I would not believe
it. I wouldn't believe grainy footage now in the year 2024.
Exactly. Yeah, that seemed odd. Convince, but anyway,
like that setup seems so like strange to go that direction. Like I understand you want to get your hero character into this conflict again,
yeah,
but just like the way that the ligaments of this movie that tie me together,
yes,
feel so flimsy. I'll give you another example. He goes he meets Alfie, played by Madeline Una Voiles.
Nice.
I will say right now, I cried in this movie.
Really?
I thought, as a child actor, she was great.
She did very good. Yes.
Like,
true.
There are some moments in here that I was like, whew. Anyway, he goes, he meets up with a guy who apparently had given him his old mission, and he's now with an AI partner. And right. we're supposed to believe, like, this guy is like, softened, whatever. He takes a look at Alfie, the AI girl, and says in the most yada 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 exposition, she's the most advanced sim I've ever seen, and she will grow and she will get more powerful, and pretty soon she will be able to control everything, including Nomad up there in the sky or whatever. And it's like, what? You looked in this girl's little ear hole.
Where there is nothing. It's literally a hole. It goes right through. Yeah.
It was like as if they had to be like, hey, we need to explain that this girl is more powerful than, or more special than all the other AI, Ken Watanabe and all the other people we see around here. But even that, like, that explanation felt so, like, slapped onto this movie. Like, she's special.
Yeah, it was a little, it was the plot device. That was, like, a literal plot device.
Very plot device-y, yes.
Pun intended, because exactly. it's also a robot. Mm-hmm. There's a couple questions I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
One, let's talk about, there's a moment when there's like a soldier that like dies in one of these like plane crash. John David Washington mm-hmm. like drives him in the truck and he dies. And then the general lady comes over, and I guess there's some kind of technology available where you
unexplained technology.
Where you can basically scan somebody's brain shortly after they're dead. I guess this has to happen shortly after they've passed. Download their consciousness onto a USB stick.
Is it their full consciousness, or is it like...
It's hard to know, but you
they
take...
They can put a lot on that USB stick.
Apparently. You can, and then it's got to be a few terabytes at least if it's fitting a human brain. But you take that USB stick and then you shove it into a simulant.
Anyone works, yeah.
Anyone works. And then for a few seconds, maybe just 30 seconds as it was in this scene... The person's consciousness is now available to you, talking through this simulant, and the person, like, who is now woken up again,
right.
has to deal with the existential shock that they are dead, like,
right.
have already died and are about to die again, and now are being asked pointed questions by a general.
Like, this whole technology is huge. It's
huge.
This movie talks a little bit about like going to heaven. And like in a scene, like he unplugs her, and it's meant to be this really important, like you got to let someone move on. And then on the other side of the coin, they're like, but I think we also have the ability to just download your consciousness and just have it. And I think that they only got 30 seconds because he had been dead for a long time.
For several hours.
And it made me think like, wait, so do the humans have no problem just being like, yeah, we're just going to take your consciousness out and like.
And can I just like, can I get really real here for a second?
Uh-huh.
Let me get really real. Like there's, I think we've talked about this before. Maybe there are companies now doing this mm-hmm. with people who are close to death right now and basically training language models like ChatGPT and stuff.
Right.
By asking questions of real human beings who right. might soon die so that later you will be able to ask this chatbot. You can literally do this today. Like this right. is not, you can do this today with like, there's an app for the Alexa by the one of these companies where you can have your loved one answer a bunch of questions. Get that
voice recording in there as well, right?
Voice recordings.
This will only get better, by the way, in our lifetime.
Well, eventually it could be like you're talking to your deceased loved one for the rest of your life, if you choose. And it's not just recordings. Like it is generating new text,
right.
saying it in their voice,
right.
answering questions as they would have because the language model had mm-hmm. maybe hours and hours of them answering questions. This feels in the movie like so close to that, but also seems terrifying. Like, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. Like, I don't want to be on either end of that. Like, I don't want to be on
definitely
the end.
Definitely don't want to be on, yeah, I definitely.
The woken up side. You don't want to be on the woken up side. Like, and in the scene in the movie, the soldier basically is like, I want to talk to my wife because he knows he only has like seconds.
Good scene.
And like, I get that sentiment and like, man, I guess that would be a nice way to, like, I wish maybe you could, like, if you just had like 20 seconds and you could, you know, and maybe
just a moment, yeah,
your loved ones weren't around when you passed away and you could say like, hey, I'm fine.
Quickly record a video message or whatever.
Quickly record a video message. Like, that seems, I have such like wildly conflicting emotions about that. It seems so right. amazing. You'd want to do it. And also seems terrifying. Like, I can't even imagine. But anyway, to be on the receiving end, like, would you want to try and talk to someone that you love who recently deceased and but just talk for 20 more seconds?
I think 20 more seconds, I would do it. I would absolutely do it.
I would do 20 seconds before I did an hour. I feel like an hour it would feel really weird.
It would be the difference between like, I feel like a language model is very different than if you told me like this consciousness, we got it trapped right. for like one more minute or whatever.
Right. Yeah. That, if it's like me, an actual person.
Yeah. That feels like,
right.
Yeah, I would,
maybe it would be worth,
know, I could, yeah. I would do a lot of things to get, you know, a 1 minute. It'd be a very tense 1 minute, but it would be like, but if it was just like,
it could
a
be cathartic
model.
No.
Then I start thinking about that with the language model of going like, I don't know.
I don't want to do it with a language model because it's not the person. Even if you were trying to get something off your chest or like be transparent about right. something.
It's actually, I find the language model more, palatable the less of a relationship I actually had with the real person.
Sure.
Like, for example, like
I'll talk to a language model of Shakespeare, whatever.
I'll talk to Marlon Brando. Yeah, exactly. Or even like kind of further off, like who's your yeah. great grandpa or whatever. Like,
sure. You didn't really, like, someone you didn't know. You didn't know. Yeah.
Just to like, because I see like the value of that is like, be kind of fun to eventually get the like, this is what they sounded like, this is the kind of like
right,
humor
right.
they sort of had,
mannerisms, whatever,
the mannerisms or whatever. Yeah, but I understand how that would be very like, this is what this movie I think sometimes clumsily gets to and sometimes glosses over completely, is that like if a programming acts and has emotions and reacts to you and feels
right,
like this movie doesn't talk about replacing you with AI, which I feel like another dystopian one. This is like, right. hey, if you meet someone, you meet something that's an AI and it does all these things,
right?
Like, should you be treating it with dignity or whatever, you know, like, or, you know, does it have,
if I tell ChatGPT, please, by the way, I say, please, when I ask ChatGPT things,
I mostly do that to try to teach the other people in my house to like, hey, just because be kind to people. But like, I think that's a very interesting thing of like, what kind of, if the thing fulfills a relational need in you, like that's a fun discussion point of like, Maya in this movie talks about how the robots like raised her and loved her and like did these things. And for her, like they took care of her and nurtured her and did all these things. And so like for her, it was real. Like yeah. I felt real in it. And like that relationship felt real. And of course she wouldn't want them to just get all like blasted out, even though it is programming. It's just programming kind of thing.
Right, right.
But let's talk about Alfie for a second.
Sure.
So Alfie says a line early on of like, well, then we both can't go to heaven because you're not a good person and I'm not a human or whatever. And then later on in this movie, spoiler alert, a time. Later on in this movie, he captures her. He's supposed to kill her because she's a weapon to destroy the humans.
Human race, yeah.
And at some point in time, they capture her and they have her strapped down to a chair. And he comes up to her and she says, and this is the part that I teared up in. She says to him with tears coming down her robot eyes, like, am I going to go to heaven?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And there's just something about like her contemplating this when she feels like she's going to be like that. That emotion felt like, wow, this is really, really good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then the movie doesn't waste any time completely undoing that, unraveling that moment and being like, wait a minute, he would never have killed her. It was all a ruse. It was all standby. We didn't get to like feel that at all because we knew that it wasn't what it seemed.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like that emotion was immediately like funk ripped out and be like, no.
Yeah,
don't worry. This kid's fine. But I really wanted Alfie to be fine throughout this whole movie. And I'm really glad that she didn't eventually have to sacrifice herself, which is where I thought things were going.
Right, right. I do want to ask you though, what side would you be on in this world? Would you be like, yeah, take Nomad and wipe them all out because we don't know what they're going to do? Or would you, like John David Washington, eventually sympathize?
I think like, I'd be on the, I mean, I'd like to think that I'd be on the John David Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially because I feel like if it would have, this movie's not meant for you to be conflicted about which side's the good side and which side's the bad side. Like, right. It's very clearly like who's bad and who's good. And even the line that Ken Watanabe says, like, we didn't drop that bomb on LA. That was a human error. That wasn't us. Right. That wasn't AI. Now, I'm not exactly sure in this movie, does the AI entity ever have widespread consciousness, or is it all confined to each individual?
It seems like person? That, as improbable as that sounds, it seems like it's
like that feels like a leap that they needed to talk me through, because me being someone who lives in the current time
with internet,
I know about computers is that they're very good at transporting information almost instantaneously across a wide thing, and it's usually pretty centralized.
Yes.
And to be like, it's a different thing if Ken Watanabe looked up to the skies and his eyes rolled back and he's like downloaded all the information from every computer. Right. That would feel very different for me. From it feels like they are truly cut off AI from any other external information, and they're experiencing pain for some reason. Like they get shot and like,
No one
ever explained to me.
No one explains it. Yeah,
why you would build these to just like just be shot normal and be hurt.
Well, there's also,
where's the brain of this thing? Where's the
weird
processors?
We see there's a moment where we see like advertisements for like donate your likeness so the simulants can be like us or whatever. Or
pretty good logo for that company too, I thought.
It's pretty.
It's like two faces, kind of like.
Yeah, it was a good logo. Would you donate your likeness though?
No.
No, yeah, neither would I. I would never.
I have a question.
I would not want to be walking down the street and see myself walking at myself.
I do have a movie question.
Yes.
When Alfie stumbles into a room on Nomad or NORAD or whatever.
It was Nomad. It was Nomad. You were right. Yeah.
And sees a bunch of Maya replicants.
Right.
All packaged up. What was that? Why was that? Were the humans planning to do something? Like, what is that?
I don't know if it's they were taken prisoner, captive for like experimentation.
But she was never caught by them. Like Maya is the creator. She is the AI creator. Right. She didn't make all the AI though, right? Or did she?
No, it couldn't be because AI existed before. Right. She just made the best one.
But she's called their whatever that term that they use all over and over again.
Well, it means the creator. Yeah.
And it's very important for the Americans to capture the creator
or destroy
the weapon.
Right, exactly.
But it's mostly so she can't make another Alfie, right?
I think so, yes.
But why all the 100 versions of her the creator?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know either. If someone understands, reach out. I don't know why.
It was almost like that was supposed to be a big reveal when we see a bunch of her. Yeah. And I was looking at it like, is this supposed to mean something to me other than like...
It's almost like the Prestige reveal, but then you don't know what's happening. Spoiler.
Right.
Well, I guess, no, I didn't spoil it.
John David Washington would have been a real twist. They had a bunch of his arms.
That would have been wild. How old do my kids need to be for us to watch The Prestige? Because it's like
I have heard about the things that your kids have watched. I think they're ready.
Like what?
Your kids have watched more troubling things than The Prestige.
You think so?
I think.
Like what? I'm trying to remember. I mean,
I'll tell you. I'll think about it and tell you later at a different time. When I'm not trying to think also what to say.
I'm just thinking of one moment in The Prestige that's like pretty disturbing, you know?
Yeah, don't pause it right in the middle of that moment.
Like I did with the
Raiders
of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No, I won't pause it there. I won't pause it. Okay, just curious.
I think I find overall, let's go to some final ratings here.
Yes, please. Yes.
I find The Creator a little sticky as a movie. Yes. I've thought of it quite a bit. I am a little baffled by some of the plot choices and some of the like exposition. I either wanted more exposition or much less exposition. Because I think if it was meant to be just kind of an artsy vibes movie, then I think like we don't try to explain, and maybe that's what it originally was. Maybe some reshoots after testing was like, we got to explain this more. And maybe that's why they feel tacked on. But there is something about the plot choices in this that I think that if this movie were to go back in the hopper and not even any new scenes, because I do think it's like beautiful in its look for most of the part.
Right.
I would take out the little robot tentacle Dr. Octopus at the end that all of a sudden there's a robot grabbing them that was not set up earlier in the movie at all. Just a new technology there. And I think I would have like changed the motivation for John David Washington like coming back.
Right.
And
okay.
Maybe I'd add a few more things. Here's another example. Last one. And then I'll be done rambling about this movie. John David Washington comes into a room in this Tibetan temple looking place that has Maya lying on it. They say that she is neither dead nor alive. She's like in a coma being kept alive because the AI can't end a life or something like that. He walks in, has no knowledge of this place, walks in and sees her there on the table. He then, in not very much time at all, decides, all right, time to flip this switch. That just felt so fast, and like the editing of that felt like you don't know what's going on and someone just told you like she's kind of not alive, kind of not dead. Shouldn't there be a scene where he's like, all right, let's talk about like we have a lot of technology, we can download consciousness, we can do all sorts of things, like can we do something here? And that type of decision making and filmmaking takes a scene that is supposed to be very emotional as he's crying and Alfie says goodbye mother and they're all like, and he's like reaching up with a trembling hand and shaking it. Only half of my brain could be invested in that, because the other half is going like, this is awfully fast to come upon your wife and flip a switch off.
Right.
You should have no rush because she's been this way for a long time. Like, shouldn't there be a couple days of him like agonizing or learning about her medical situation?
No.
What's the issue here?
Right. There's no time.
No time.
Let's rate this movie, Nate. Let's rate this movie on a scale of 0 to 5. Motorcycles, not like a regular motorcycle, the Thailand style motorcycle where you see the robot like driving on it. I'm gonna give it three motorcycles because I feel like the cinematography is amazing. I love that it was shot on like a Sony camera. Cinematography is beautiful. John David Washington, I enjoy seeing him, even if you know some parts are a little whatever. But I would see it again too. Like I'd like to.
I know, me I too.
It's sticky. Like it's sticky more.
I'd get
than
back
other
in that world.
I like the and that's I think another big point is the world that this movie creates is it compelling? Like it's a compelling universe world. I want to know more about it. Maybe even see another story told in this world in this way, just maybe a little better. But yeah. Three.
I'm going to give 2.5, and it's my most conflicted 2.5 ever, because like you said, I found it beautiful. I thought, I mean, you can get a long ways with a hero and a child actor together as a team.
Yeah. Was it Man on Fire? Big, or Out of Time when it was Denzel Washington?
Out of Time.
Out of Time, yeah.
Or Man on Fire. Man on Fire. Dakota Fanning?
Yeah, Dakota Fanning, yeah. Not to be confused with Dakota Johnson. And it took me a second to realize that the girl in the Denzel Washington movie is not the same one that's in Madam Web. Took me a minute.
That's correct.
Well, but then, I got there. Just want everybody to know.
I think I'm not mad at this movie. I'm just disappointed. Because I do think when I saw this trailer and I saw the talent in it, like, I think this one could have been baked, a twice baked potato, and gotten to like a really solid 4.
Like a chicken fried steak. You needed one more round.
One more dip, one more fry on both sides. And yeah, so I'm giving it 2.5. And maybe that's a little harsh to it, but I have to knock down the, like, you got so close in so many ways. And then why are these small things that are like 2 lines away from being like really good and compelling? Yeah. Why was that fumbled?
It's fumbled.
Overall, if you worked on this movie, if you were involved in it in any way,
so good.
This is a real, like, make more movies. This is great as far as a movie making thing. It just feels like this one maybe didn't quite, that's a director's vision. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't make movies. This is much better than anything I could ever make. So I feel like I've been a little bit too negative.
Yes, you have.
But still 2.5.
But I gave it a 3. I just want everybody to know I gave it a 3. I gave it a 3.
Send all your messages to me.
And Hans Zimmer did the music. It's because you can't go wrong. Yeah. Anyway, let us know what you thought. Go to Instagram.com/@moviesonthesign. Or no one goes to Instagram.com. I don't know why I said that. Follow us on Instagram @moviesontheside, and you can comment on
type
the post.
Type in www.
http://. And let us know what you think. @moviesontheside there. Also, youtube.com/@moviesontheside. You can watch the episode, and you can also comment on the video over there. Let us know if you have any movies you'd like us to review. I know Fernando Silva, if you're listening, he wants us to do Harry Potter and Titanic. I know we eventually have to get to those classics, apparently.
Yes. Yes.
Which I've never seen a Harry Potter movie, and that's like 7 movies deep, so I don't know.
I've seen all of them.
I know.
I'm halfway
them all.
There.
I want to do Dune. I'm waiting to do Dune 2. We're going to do Dune
we'll
2
do
soon.
We'll do it.
But anyway, let us know. And as we always say,
Sergeant Taylor, we are this close to winning the war. But the AI are developing a super weapon. Retrieve it, or they win.
That was really close.
I'd play a video game in this world. I'd play the creator video game.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, absolutely.
Choose a side.
That'd be good.